VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
I'm Marshall Gallup.
That didn't sound like Adam to me. How about you? Everybody, the regular listeners at least, know that Adam is out searching for the perfect wave for this couple of weeks, and he will be back next Saturday, tanned, rested, and ready to go, I trust. But Marshall is kindly filling in for him, and I appreciate that. Marshall is our highly respected reverse mortgage specialist. A lot of you have heard him before. I know the show is ever growing and ever changing. There are a lot of people out there that don't know who Marshall is, and several who do. Well, the reverse mortgage is a product that is becoming more and more an essential portion of long-term personal financial planning. It is also a business that is rapidly changing. So I love it when Marshall comes in more or less annually, because then we get to find out what's been going on. It's not all good. It's some bad, but it's also changing, and hopefully we'll be getting better. But the point is, we are going to start from the very beginnings with the good, the bad, and the ugly part of it, and show you how it has worked its way into what Adam and I do in our day jobs as a very, very important part of personal financial planning. So we will get to that probably right as we begin the second session after the first break. So in the interim, I'll talk a little bit about the market, and I've got a couple of other announcements and that sort of thing. So just bear with a little bit, because one thing we like to do is bring you right up-to-date information. Okay, I have to do this. It was an ugly week, but it was not an ugly month, it was not an ugly quarter, and it was not an ugly year so far. So all is not lost, people. We just ran out of steam Friday afternoon, and I was watching it happen. I just shaking my head and saying, you people, you are so crazy. Anyway, for the week, Dow was down, NASDAQ was down more, S&P was down. The worst case was NASDAQ at 2.4% down. But for the month of June, the Dow was down 0.6, NASDAQ up 0.9, and the S&P was up 0.5%. For the quarter, it's 0.7, 0.3, and 2.9. But for the year so far, the Dow down 1.8, the NASDAQ up 8.8, and the S&P up 1.7. We've spent a month now talking about the lack of consistency between the Dow as a market indicator and the S&P as a broad market indicator. I don't think it's ever been more obvious than it has in the month of June that the Dow Jones Industrial Average, having only 30 stocks in it, is just a pathetic way to gauge what the market is doing. So I know they like it. I like it. Everybody likes it because the numbers are big. But it is not reflective of reality. The S&P up 1.7 and the NASDAQ up 8.8 tells you a lot more about the market than the performance of the Dow ever could right now. As to what's hot and what's not, well, an interesting thing is going on in the oil market, which keeps trying to push itself down and then reaches new recent highs again, and that happened again this week, and oil is going back up again. I think they're probably trying to give the gas price at the pump a nice little jump so that y'all can fill up your tank about five times over the 4th of July holiday, at which time it'll come back down. If that sounds like a conspiracy theory, check the records historically. Just because it happens all the time, is that a conspiracy? Don't know. Anyway, that will happen. It's nothing to worry about. I'm actually very happy. The energy sector has been lagging so long, it's finally getting better again. But what is being ignored is far more important than what is going on. So let's take a look at a couple of things that are happening here. We're going to get a new Supreme Court justice, a very good thing in the long term. The impact of tariffs, well, they're going to start tomorrow, theoretically. So far, we have not had tariffs kicking in, at least not the Trump tariffs. How long is that going to last? How bad is it going to get? Or is that the real day that the negotiating starts? My opinion, you can probably guess. Unemployment is at historical low levels. Confidence is at historically high levels. The leading indicators are very strong. The tax cuts are in full swing. The GDP estimate was lowered a little bit for the second quarter, but now the estimates for the third quarter, or for the first quarter, I mean, now the estimates for the second are going higher and higher. Some people have them up to 5. I think if it's 4+, it's a big win for everybody. Wages are rising, and it's been a long time since they did that. Earnings growth estimates are still at 20% for the balance of this year. Now, you all know the rules if you've been listening, and the rule number one of this show is that callers go to the head of the line. Good morning, Don.
Hey.
What's up?
I wanted to say something to you this morning. I want you to do me a big, big favor.
Well, you shoot, and we'll see what we can do.
We can do this next week or whatever you want, but I want you to get into more a little detail about a savings and loan and these other stock markets other than the Dow. I would really like to know more about that. I tried to find information the other day. Nobody wanted to talk about it.
About what makes up, what indices there are and what makes them up, that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that next week.
I understand the Dow is the overall economy, but the rest of these stuff,
not so much.
I don't understand.
But we'll tell you all about it. But I would like to do that next week, but it's going to take a little time. You've got a variety of things that are area sensitive. You've got some things that are broad, but there's cap weighted, price weighted, size weighted, all kinds of different ways to measure them, and you have to consider what you're doing on all of those, which is why it will take a little time. My secondary reason for taking that time is I'm going to assign it to Adam while he's on vacation.
Yeah, well, you see, I hope he has a good time, and I'll probably call you back in a couple of weeks.
That's perfect. What's the second thing?
Well, I wanted to ask that guy there with you if he ever knew of a Marie Cumby in the mortgage industry. That was my wife. She was in it for 35 years.
And reverses?
That rings a bell to me.
Yeah, before Marshall got to be a specialist, he's been in the mortgage business for a long time.
Very long.
Yeah, in fact, he's got hair the color of mine. He's been in there so long.
Yeah.
Alan's shaking his head. Yeah,
but if you do that little deal for me one day, I would like to get more information and learn more about that in deep detail. I would appreciate it.
I will tell you two things. First off, we'll do it. And second, we'll put it on our website. We'll write it up and put it on the website after the show in a week or two.
Okay, buddy. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for calling, Don. Well, I should say happy 4th to everybody, too, shouldn't I?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I did have one thing I wanted to share with you.
Sure.
You're speaking about the Dow from a less trained consumer. Isn't the Dow as reflective of the market as polls are of consumer confidence?
That is a very interesting comparison. And in many respects, it's exactly right. Anyway, what do I think is going to happen? Well, I think economics is going to trump politics, no pun intended, and that you'll see the second half of this year reflecting what a wonderful economic time this is in the country. I wish more people would get into the workforce. That is a barrier that we have yet to cross. But if you look at the number of people on things like food stamps, it is at a low that we haven't seen in decades. Things are good out there. The market is scared, jittery, and some people are doing this because they make commissions and they want volatility so they can sell, buy, and make money. Don't be fooled by them. It's looking good. All right, we'll have a trivia question. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Marshall Gallup.
And we'll get to Marshall in just a minute. I wanted to wrap up a couple things on what's going on in the market. What's spooking the markets more than anything else, it seems, is the trade and tariff talk. Now, I looked up a few, and just to say, today, this is the day before the new tariffs go into place. Here's a few tariffs I thought you might be interested in. Worsted wool fabric, cotton shirting fabric, tariff, rate quotes, general agreement on on trades and tariff. That's a GATT that was established a long time ago that put a bunch of things on. There's the African Growth and Opportunity Act, U.S.-Australia Free Trade Agreement, U.S.-Bahrain Free Trade Agreement, Caribbean Basin Trade Partnership, U.S.-Central America-Dominican Republic Free Trade Agreement. You know what free trade agreement means in this? It means we agree on how much tariffs to charge each other. That's all it means. Is free trade fair trade? No, 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 no. Is free trade adequately named? No, 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 no. U.S.-Chile free trade.
Did they get some advertising guys to come up with the names of those?
They did.
Free?
Well, you know, Washington specializes in misnomers. They say, what is it? Okay, what's the opposite of that? That's what we'll call it. Haitian Hemispheric Opportunity Through Partnership Act. U.S.-Israel Agreement on Trade and Agricultural Products. U.S.-Morocco Free Trade Agreement. North American Free Trade Agreement. We all know that one. U.S.-Oman Free Trade Agreement, U.S.-Peru Trade Promotion, U.S.-Panama, U.S.-Colombia, U.S.-Korea. Get in the picture. Here's a few things affected. We have tariffs incoming on brooms, whisk brooms, cotton shirt fabric, chocolate, milk and cream, sugar, avocados, peanuts, tobacco, T-shirts, ice cream, hotel, restaurant, and kitchenware, beef, tomato sauces, specialty sugar. You know how many tariffs we currently impose on people sending money into this country? About 12,000. What is the right number of tariffs for the entire world? There's only one answer.
Zero.
A big old zero. Free trade. Let every country do what that country does best. Now, I will put a codicil on that, a small one. If the government insists on supporting those industries, I have a problem with that.
Do you have a thought about Wisconsin's Finest and their moves at Harley-Davidson?
Yes, I have a thought. That was announced in January. That was my thought. What are you people doing? You're trying to get a little free press. Harley has a big problem. It's called demographics. Today's kids don't drive. In fact, they're saying now, the big demographers are saying that kids born today won't even have driver's licenses. Cars will drive themselves, things like that. They're certainly not going to hurry up and run out and buy a Harley because they're just a generation that doesn't do that. They'll play a video game rather than taking a trip on their Harley. Harley knows this. It's been closing production here. It's been announced that they're going to distribute it throughout the world. Well, now, because they know we currently have a 6% tax on Harleys, that it's going to go to 31. So they're going to build over there. Well, they were going to do that anyway. But now they use it to say, we don't want taxes like that. Well, I don't either, Harley. But let's see what's going on. Read the art of the deal, people. Guess what happened in this country recently?
And that
number
is?
One again. U.S. restores top ranking as most competitive global economy. We had slipped to about 4 under Obama. It is now number 1. And it's only been a year and a half. Not even that, really. I think that's just incredible. And a quick note to would-be financial planners. TD Ameritrade has a scholarship program for people who want to go into this business. It is available this summer for people entering into. Yep. If you go to the TD Ameritrade website, or you can send us an email at the office and we'll send you to it. But if your kids are interested in a job like this, it's a grant of about, I think it's $7,500, no, $5,000 a piece, 12 of them.
And I'm sure that Adam has shared with you a number of the young people that he's met at UNF.
Yes.
Who are working on their programs there. I just have to say I'm totally blown away.
We have one in our office right now, and she has been through that program, and I am absolutely blown away with how much she knows coming out of the program. It is a wonderful thing. I love it. Okay, one more quickie, then we'll get to it. This is today's trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. Don't even know why this came up. I guess it's all the tax talk. In what year was the first federal income tax in the U.S. imposed? That's the question. So lines are open, 904-222-TALK. That's 8255. All right, we'll put us in the Wayback Machine for a few minutes and go back into the 1980s and Ronald Reagan and so on. And we found the birth of an idea which turns into a product called the reverse mortgage. Everybody knows what a mortgage is. Well, a reverse mortgage is a mortgage. Now, rule number one is applying again Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. How are you today?
Wonderful. And you?
Couldn't stand it. Can I take a shot of the trivia?
Absolutely.
1913?
Wonderful guess, but wrong.
Okay, good.
keep listening, because there's a moral to my story, as there always is.
Yeah, Van Wee Financial on world tour. Y'all are live, and I love it. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
It's not a trick question if it's just a question, but it's my trivia always has to have a point. Well, almost always. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you for taking my call this morning.
Our pleasure.
I have a question about the financials in the stock market, specifically J.P. Morgan.
Yes, good topic.
J.P. Morgan. Yeah, now I bought it about 3 months ago, thinking these rate hikes would be helpful to the big banks. And Thursday afternoon, after hours, they announced that they raised their dividend by 43%.
Pretty nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then they're doing a $20 billion buyback on their shares, and the stock went down again yesterday.
It's the insanity.
It's counterintuitive.
Yep, it's the insanity of the 2018 market.
Okay.
I'll tell you what I'm thinking here. Here's some things that I wrote down this morning. Well, first off, July's been a good month, up 2.7% throughout this most recent bull market. But here's some things that are going on. Growth over value, higher PE over lower PE, oil over metals and utilities, consumer discretionary over consumer staples, stocks over bonds, short bonds and tips over long bonds, domestic stocks over foreign stocks. That's been the tendency for the 6 months thus far in the year. What are the chances in your mind that those tendencies are going to be carried into the second half?
Yeah, definitely.
I think you're going to see them dissipate, and I think you're going to see them replaced. I think dividends are going to come back in. The financials passed the hardest stress test the Fed has ever put on them. They passed with flying colors. J.P. Morgan is reflecting that. The stock market isn't. I have a name for a time like this. I call it buying opportunity.
All right.
That's what I think. I'd hold on to it and maybe think about doubling down.
Okay, my friend.
Hope I'm right.
And do you think the small caps are going to continue to outperform the large caps?
Based on the tariffs, based on the economy, and all of that, yes, I do. And they have been very hot this year, as you correctly stated. I see no reason at all why that isn't going to keep happening. I might change my mind if they settle all these trade disputes and knock off all the tariffs and that sort of thing, but that's not going to happen today or tomorrow.
No, not until we get some people with some saneness in Congress.
That is true. There's a lot of insanity out there, and a lot of it's in the market, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's just noise. Ignore it.
Okay.
Did you want to take a shot at the trivia question? First, income tax?
I didn't even listen to it. I'm sorry. I'm listening to your program thinking about my question.
That's fine. Quickly, it's just what year was the first income tax imposed in the U.S.? And we know 2013 is wrong, so it's got to be before that because we know the big one started then.
Oh, gosh. And to start around, I'm sorry to hold you up here. I'm going to say 1939.
No, it's before.
Okay.
We'll get to it, though. Check back in a couple of weeks. Let's see if I'm right about the whole financial turnaround. I think they're going to be good from here on out.
Okay, great.
Take care.
I'll sleep a lot better tonight. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate you listening. The insanity has to end. That's the way I see it. Adam and I are very contrary on a lot of our feelings versus the market, because I think long-term it's very smart, but short-term it's often very stupid.
You were beginning to discuss the beginnings of the reverse mortgage, and we'll give a thought to roll into the break with.
Good.
Everybody knows about getting a mortgage and making mortgage payments. The reverse mortgage is the reverse of that. You already have a home, it's paid for, and the mortgage company is going to make you payments. Why is that of value? Using your home to stay in your home. And FHA
and
was there to help.
And improve your lifestyle, possibly.
Very possibly. But that's the very, very, very root of the whole program.
I have a few other reasons also. So for those of you who don't know much about the reverse mortgage industry and product, and better yet, for those of you who the second I say reverse mortgage, you have a little twinge, a little feeling in your spine, and then you grit your teeth a little bit, because you grew up watching the same commercials I grew up watching, and it was an ugly start to getting this thing going. It was also abused by the people who sold it, and it still could be today, although it's less likely, which is why you better know what you're doing when you're going after one, which is why we recommend Marshall, because I know what he does and how he does it. So we'll get into it for the last half of the show, and you can ask your own questions, and I'll certainly ask my own questions. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Marshall Gallup.
And those of you who remember, Marshall is our resident expert in the home equity conversion mortgage, more often thought of as a reverse mortgage. A quick note, Robinson Landscape and Maintenance, this segment sponsor, because things are growing and, man, it's looking good out there. But it's too hot for me to do it.
Growing so, like weeds.
Growing like. So call Troy at 662-9794, and you won't have to do it yourself anymore. Also, a reminder that our trivia question is out there. In what year was the first income tax imposed in this country? And we know it's actually earlier than 1913. I know most people believe it to be the 16th Amendment date, but it actually is not. It's earlier than that. All right, we were retracing the reverse mortgage back to its roots in the 80s in the Reagan administration. I'm not even sure what. Do you know who started the whole concept? Who made enough noise in Congress that they actually started talking about this as a possibility?
I can't say, really. I mean, the product in its form at that time, we've tracked back to about 1960, and different people made a product like this.
Okay.
Some insurance companies made equity sharing products so that they owned a piece of your house.
Aha.
What the Reagan administration did was come up with a standard that would be insured by FHA and make sure
that was the key to the whole thing.
Protect the consumer, protect the investor who's making the loan, and make sure you have well studied the risks. There's an actuarial audit every year of the FHA insurance fund so that over time, the whole plan is this is not to cost the federal government money because people are paying an insurance premium.
That, for people who don't know or aren't very familiar with this, the reason that FHA worked and the reason it's in there is because people had this thought that this is just a way for the banks to get your house. You still hear it all the time. I see it in my business. I hear it on the street. No, it's just a way for the banks to take your house. Absolutely not. Why? Because the mortgage holder doesn't own it. You own it. But the insurance is in there because if you happen to beat the odds and outlive your life expectancy, and you've been taking money out of this place over and over and over, you might come to a point, especially if we have another real estate problem, where the amount you owe on that house exceeds its street value. What's going to happen then if you die? And the answer is, nothing. No one inherits your debts. No one will inherit the house because they're going to sell it. The difference between the what you owe and what the street value is has been insured every single month by the FHA. It does not cost you anything. It does not cost the U.S. government anything. It's a pool of insurance that every month you're paying into it, which is really kind of cool when you think you're not paying anything at all.
So you have paid into a fund to allow FHA to pick up the check if we have that worst case scenario. Otherwise, you get the benefit of selling a home like you would normally get, okay, and selling a home that's appreciated and has plenty of equity left.
All right, well, let's simplify it and back up a little bit. What is it? What is a reverse mortgage? What is a home equity conversion mortgage, and why should anybody care?
It is a mortgage on a home that can be an important part of a financial plan. Just like someone going into retirement, because most of these that are going to be initially taken out are our boomers, someone going into retirement needs to consider, how much money am I going to have to pay how much in debts, how much in obligations? Do you want to go into retirement with a mortgage payment?
Some do, some don't.
That's a real question.
In our practice, most people say, I have a plan to retire at this date, and I'll have my mortgage paid off on that date. Okay, that's common.
My example that I shared with you earlier, which is something that my wife and I had done. Let's use this example. If at age 62 you owned a home worth $300,000 and you didn't owe anything on the property, so you sell it, your costs with real estate commission and closing cost about 10%. So let's say you've got a pot of about $270,000. You're wanting to buy a newer, more effective house for you for the next 20 or so years, because it's a lot cheaper to live in your house than it is to go live in an assisted living facility.
That is the truth.
So if you use the reverse purchase product, this is the difference of since 2009, you then have to come up with about $192,000 in today's rates of your cash to purchase that $300,000 home. And as long as one of you is living in the house, there is no principal and interest payment, because the interest is being added to your loan balance. What does that do? That changes dramatically how much money you need to turn the lights on every month. What's the initial amount of income? And you have to consider that, let's say your principal and interest payment would have been $700 a month on that house. Well, that's $700 of your after-tax income you need to make that principal and interest payment.
Even more than ever, it's after-tax, because so few people are itemizing under the new tax law.
So picture having to take $1,000 a month out of your retirement funds that you didn't want to take out of them versus not taking any of that. And that is a crucial personal financial planning decision.
In the old days, people were born in a town, raised in a town, and most of them lived within 25 miles of that town all of their life. That's not happening anymore. People coming into Florida for many varied reasons, from retirement to weather to coming out of the high tax states and so on, what are the chances their kids are ever going to want their house? Because the first question I ask people when we're talking about it is there any chance that your family will want this house? And if they say no, okay, we move on to the next question. Say yes, say, well, how badly do you want to just hand it to them, or would you rather give them the first right of refusal, which is what a reverse mortgage does?
And with that first right of refusal, all that money you haven't drawn out of your retirement fund has still been professionally managed, allows you to live a better lifestyle, and 99 out of 100 kids are going to say, do I want all this value left in a house that I've got to sell, that I've got to go through all that, or, gee, I have this retirement fund that's rolling over as was originally planned, as was part of the estate plan. That's where you get into your planning.
I think it's very rare these days that any kids want to get their parents' house, which is taking a lot of the pressure off of us on the planning side.
And the one piece I missed mentioning was that person's taken $192,000 of the $270,000.
Right.
That other portion they've put in their financial plan, because 10 years down the road, they may need to be drawing some more money to make this work. So it's really helped on both sides. Lowering your cost, increasing your reserves.
If you are evaluating a business, there are two fundamental documents. The first thing I do, I go to their financials. I look at the balance sheet and the income statement. balance sheet is a statement that says I have this many assets and this many liabilities. The difference is my net worth. The income statement says how much money do we make? How much money do we make before taxes? How much money do we make after taxes? Individuals are just individual businesses, the way we look at them. When it comes to long-term financial planning, every person, every family is a business. It has the same components. Your plan has to have the same components. What are your assets? What are your liabilities? What's your income? Retirement is not solely about how much income you can make, because it's totally dependent on things like where do you live? What do you have to pay to live there, if anything? And then you get into the esoterics, like what would you rather do? And I've got a lot more on that after the break, too, because choosing your lifestyle for what is going to likely be a 10 to 30 year retirement is not something that you take lightly. And
you
if you can facilitate it by using products like this and incorporating them into a financial plan, you're far better off. And you didn't hear CFPs talking like that. George, if you'll hang on until after the break, we only got a few seconds, but we'll catch up with you right away. But if you are really on top of the financial planning process, this is something that you really have to consider. And if your financial guy doesn't talk about it, you need a new financial guy. We'll talk about that more when we get back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Marshall Gallup.
And we have George on the line. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I was trying to not interrupt the reverse mortgage thing, and I'll try to be quick here because it's very interesting.
Okay.
However, I have a real strange situation that came up, and it has to do with a lifetime annuity. And I cannot get information out of the company, which took over a cash account, a qualified cash account, without my knowledge in 2007 and turned it into a lifetime annuity, about $319 a month. And so I'm obligated to this next year pull out about $42,000-$43,000 out of this thing from going back to 2007, according to them. And frankly, I'd rather have a Roth IRA self-directed. And so this is a strange situation where I'd worked for like 12 different companies overseas, and this is just one of them, and it's MetLife. And I was just wondering, first if you have some information about lifetime annuities and what tax designation that is, and then also, you know, where I'm going to go with this thing. I'm writing a letter now. Several people advise, write a letter, say exactly what you want. And I've called them five times, and they've never come back with the forms, et cetera, a description of this thing.
Okay. Marshall and I were talking right before the show, and we were talking with Alan, the producer, and we were saying that in a business like ours, it's very important to know a lot about a lot of things. But when you get from the point of knowing a lot to where you need expertise, that's why we have a whole battery of professionals, reverse mortgage being Marshall. The best answer that you can get for that particular question is to go to the website stantheannuityman.com and ask him to contact you and tell him I sent you.
Right. Yes, you've had him on the show.
Yes.
And he's very good. And I didn't have his contact information. And Annuity Man.
StanTheAnnuityMan.com.
Great guy.
Very, very good. I appreciate it.
He knows everything. Just like that. George, we appreciate the call, as always.
Thank you.
It played right into the whole experts galore, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And one thing that you got to know when you're working with a CFP who does business as a registered investment advisor, that you're not getting your dad's stockbroker. You're getting someone who actually knows a few things about a few things, but you're also getting somebody who knows the limits of their own expertise, and they cover that by bringing in the pros.
There's a big difference between the stockbroker that worked downtown that my father worked with in the 50s and 60s and the same company today.
Yeah, that is absolutely the truth. Okay, and backing into the whole concept of the reverse mortgage, How many of you know someone that either describes himself or herself, or you describe, as being house poor?
Oh, yes.
I don't think there's anybody out there who has not said at one point or referred to someone at one point as being house poor, which simply means that your balance sheet is impressive, but your income statement is not adequate.
And
what do you do?
And that's the point. The title of a book by the National Council on Aging is Using Your Home to Stay in Your Home. And I've always thought that was so appropriately put, because that's exactly what a person in that situation is doing, to say, is this the right place? And part of the planning has to be, well, maybe it's not the right place. Maybe it is so old, you're going to have a lot of capital improvements you're going to have to make. Or as one of my friends says, that crusty, rusty old house.
There's that.
When you can sell that and to move into something more appropriate, that's newer, more efficient, that makes a big difference.
And you know what you just described? Choice.
Absolutely.
The whole concept of getting older and being a successful older person is choice.
And yet I would add one thing to it. This was my personal experience. After being in a house for 30 years that we loved, we loved the neighborhood, all these things about it, but we knew how old that was. Going through the cleansing of making the move we made and essentially saying, if we haven't used it in the last 2 years, we need to throw it out. I mean, I gave away some golf clubs that I hadn't used that I wanted to hang on to. No, it was a cleansing experience. And now it's like, okay, well, I did have to go buy another drill. All right. So I spend a little money on a drill, but I don't have that whole wall of tools sitting there anymore.
I'm a charter member of the Pack Rat Club.
Oh.
I understand completely. Believe me. And that can be cathartic.
You need to go experience a senior who has gone way overboard and has tremendous amounts of trash all over a house, can't move through it. I've fortunately had the experience of meeting some people in that, and it caused me to really think, oh my gosh, I could do this. I could get to this point.
And it worked. All right, well, in the evolution of the home equity conversion mortgage,
let me caveat.
Sure.
Except for my wife.
Yeah, okay.
Because Lent in the wrong place, and our house has to move.
Oh, well, I have one of those wife things, too.
Yep.
And what we do, she has two votes and I have one, and it's a democracy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Democracy of two. In the evolution timeline of the reverse mortgage, it started out poorly, and we were talking about the old-time commercials before we both agree that the Fred Thompson and Tom Selleck commercials are much better targeted at the truth of the matter. But it didn't really catch fire, which is why there's such a negative reaction to it when you meet people. But then in 2009, something happened that made it a lot better. And that something was basically a revamping of the business itself, was it not?
There was a lot of change, but there was a realization by the leaders in the industry that we needed to have that research that proved what we suspected was factual. Fortunately, one of the major players at the time was MetLife, that at that time had something called the MetLife Mature Institute that did tremendous volumes of study. It's no longer in existence. Did tremendous volumes of study on these things. So the research path caused financial planners to see good, solid data that said, if you use this appropriately in a plan, we now have gone away from those people who are needy, house poor, just need a little cash flow, to those people who have the resources, and they're just planning it better.
It makes sense to me. But then, along the same timeline, some stuff happened during the Obama years.
Let me try not to be as hurtful as I would like to be on the subject.
Your candor is still welcome, even if it is
for
muted.
Every person that's listening, if you have a mortgage and you fail to pay your taxes,
keep
the
up
mortgage
the house.
Company is going to foreclose on you.
Yeah.
There are some writers that say that's one of the problems with reverse mortgage. No, Every mortgage has the clause. You must keep up your taxes and your insurance.
What if you have no mortgage?
Well,
you have to keep up the taxes and the insurance.
That's right. So there was a concern on the part of FHA during that administration that we were going to have a problem with elderly people getting to the end of their mortgage, not having the money to pay their taxes and insurance, and we're going to throw them out on the street. Well, now then people started realizing, oh, we can tell FHA we don't have the money to pay our taxes and insurance, even though we do. And it exacerbated tremendously, which caused the audit to show a high propensity of default. And there was not, let me just put it this way, there was not an adult in the room running things that said, well, we kind of screwed this up ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they had a little challenge in that all the loans in their portfolio had to be foreclosed by a Department of Justice attorney. Well, they were kind of busy with a lot of other things.
You think? What's happening now? Obviously, it's a situation that's untenable.
Well, in the last month, we finally have an FHA administrator who previously had that job and is working with industry to fix the mistakes.
Okay, so what is it going to mean to the average person who would really like to go out and talk about this?
Some will still be able to use it today, especially in that purchase vein. Those in the refinance, over the next year, it will come back to what we were doing.
Okay, sometime in the next year?
Mm-hmm.
How long should people be planning their retirement? 1 year, 6 months, 3 days? No. From now until then, whatever now until then is. All right. Thanks, Marshall. I really appreciate you. You can always find Marshall through us. Just send us an email if you have to. The first income tax was imposed in 1894, was very quickly ruled unconstitutional. So those of you who know a little bit about the Constitution, you can't just say something's unconstitutional and expect them to fix it. You got to pass a constitutional amendment, and doggone it, they did it. I hate that. See you next week. Thanks for listening. This is the Vanley Financial Hour.